All right, Gary, what are we playing this week?
Well, Cole, as you know, there was recently the entire world was taken by World Cup fever.
Oh, it was terrible. Just to deal with it, they had to convert a bunch of churches into infirmaries. The Red Cross ran out of blood.
Yep, everybody got footy blood. And they had to respond to real blood. Replace it. Not respond it.
Respond, you know.
That it was resplendent with real blood.
Redolent.
So here we are at the stadium where that took place. And you can see the epicenter of the World Cup fever. Air Miami's playing over there in the corner. No one's going to understand what I'm referring to that. And it's just trashed.
Mm-hmm.
It's garbage. There's garbage everywhere. Like, you are standing on an unconscionable number of wasted hot dogs. Like, now, if you look down.
No, and they've taken on the consistency of peat moss.
Yeah, you thought it was like AstroTurf or something. But no, it's full hot dogs. And not just like just the hot dog part. It's like fully dressed Chicago style.
Yeah. Just the air. Like, that looks like mist, but it's actually celery salt has been kicked up. And
yeah, disgusting.
Why the fuck did we both go to celery salt?
Because I think that's the most noteworthy thing about a Chicago style hot dog.
Yeah.
Like other hot dogs have kind of analogs. Like, instead of ketchup, you have a tomato instead of ketchup. Instead of relish, you have a pickle.
Yeah.
But celery salt's like the secret sauce to a Chicago style hot dog, which is one of I will eat other hot dogs.
Uh-huh.
I do think Chicago style hot dogs are the best hot dogs.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
This is an incredibly good hot dog. Like, I'm not one of those people who's like, if you don't eat your hot dog this way, you die.
No.
You know? I don't even care how people eat steak.
Yeah,
I'm a renegade.
I'm a heathen who eats ketchup on his hot dog and nothing else.
They're good.
Yeah.
Ketchup on hot dog is good, man.
Yeah.
Like, food is good.
Yeah, I love food. I'm so happy that we're able to say that. Like, it's really liberating to just get out there and take a stand on food, you know?
Yeah, it's just generally good. My mom used to cook steaks, like, pretty well done.
Uh-huh.
It didn't not taste good.
Right. Yeah.
You know, throw some A1 in that stuff, and it was more of a sauce delivery vehicle, but it's not like it didn't taste good.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have somebody out there where you, like, cook a steak, and you cook it so it isn't bleeding, and they, like, they dive in front of the fucking skillet, like the bodyguard, and try to save the steak. You know, it's like, come on.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Anywho, so we're standing on just trash.
Yeah.
Detritus. Yeah. And,
Vuvuzelas are sticking out of the ground like dragon's teeth. It's a bad scene.
It's disgusting. But I found this huge pile of, you know, in soccer, one of the things they do is they have card warnings.
Oh, yellow card, bowling for soup, any of those. Yeah.
Yeah. Coldplay. here's a big pile of discarded cards from the thing. And I've written a game on each of them, and we're just going to shuffle them.
Okay.
You know, so let's here.
Hey there, Scorpion Dad. How's it going?
The Scorpion is shuffling it for me.
Okay, cool.
With his friend, the White Noise Generator. It's the classic newspaper duo, Scorpion and White Noise Generator.
I like their hat with little tickets sticking out of it.
Here we go. The Scorpion is fanning. And this is not my normal Scorpion. This is just one that somebody discarded.
Because
whoever the World Cup was, maybe they eat scorpions? I don't know.
Yeah.
So the Scorpion's holding out one in his business claw. Do you want to draw a card? Watch out for the tail.
Yeah, no, I just, yeah, no, the tail's
he's
over there.
He's waving it. Yeah, that either means he's agitated or relaxed. The book says both. So,
yeah.
Be careful.
Yeah. Well, okay. I'll take this red one here. Good try there, little buddy.
He's right. He got the white noisemaker, but the white noisemaker just likes it.
Yeah. let's see here. I picked the red one. It says Nintendo World Cup.
That's
a little bit on the nose.
A little bit on the nose, I know. My original thought was that we'd find them in a non-soccer location, and then I very quickly was like, where do you find soccer cards outside of a soccer match? And none.
Yeah.
So it could have just been like we went to a random place.
Yes.
And that was the thing too. This could have been a globe spinning randomization.
I have a list up the 25 greatest soccer players you've never heard of, and I was going to try and work in such names as Magico Gonzalez.
Oh, sure.
Fernando Peiroteo, mm-hmm. Dodinho, obviously.
Is it just one word?
Yes.
I love the Dodinho.
And then my favorite one appears to be a Polish man, Dragon Zajic.
That's pretty great.
That's pretty great.
Dragon's a good first name.
Hey, soccer. You're I feel bad. I'm sorry for giving you so much heat.
Yeah. Fuck. Why? Well, I mean, just because you have names like wrestlers doesn't mean, you know, it's gonna be a thing. Yeah.
Sandor Coxus. Come on, Sandor. Come on.
Sandor's that's some Game of Thrones shit.
Matthias Sindelar. Yeah.
Sindelar is good.
Yeah.
The thing about these names is they mean things to other people.
Mm-hmm.
Like we're just like Sindelar. That's a weird word. And then like Autumn Greer is like, no, like he's actually extremely good at passing and calf work.
Yeah. Oh,
you know, he's really good at reverse knee thigh downs, you know, like whatever people do in this game.
Yeah. Oh no. Let's see here. Oh, he's arguably the greatest of all the pre-war players. Yeah. The
pre-war
Sorry.
Players. Yeah. War.
Yeah. World War II.
Oh, okay. Was there a major did that affect soccer in a way I do not previously did not understand?
I mean, they canceled Olympics and shit. So yeah, I imagine it probably canceled. I mean, Europe was on fire. I don't think that they did. Oh yeah. So he played for Austria and Vienna, and it was bad news. His family was pursued by the Gestapo.
Oh yeah. Well, that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
I'm
actually really interested about this. I'm going to keep this tab open. I'm going to read these later.
You never actually hear about other sports being reckoned that way.
Right.
In terms of pre-war and post-war.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, like, A League of Their Own, you know, that was about how all the male players were away for World War II.
Yeah. Yeah, Rockford Peaches. where my original Teaches and Peaches. hit the ball. Gary Butterfield.
I'm Cole Ross. I have no idea where the cut is in there. I have no idea at what point I would play the
softly throughout the entire thing.
Yeah, just bring it up. Yeah.
Somewhere in there, because we both, these can't be ultra long episodes because we both have places to be.
Right.
This is After Suffering, the show where we play bad games so you don't have to.
Why are you doing this to us?
Did somebody pick this one, Cole?
Yes, this is a Patreon demand. Let me pull this up here. This is from somebody named Lass or Lasse, something like that. Okay. Lasse. This game was really bad back then, and I always refused playing it with my friends. Also, the World Cup is coming up, so
dating this very specifically, we've got a little bit of a backlog.
A little bit. Yeah. I'm trying to turn through them faster. Thing. So I've been thumbing the mix.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
It's funny. It's funny.
In the past, who will win? I actually don't know who won, so
I don't know. All I know is maybe it was South America. I don't know. It's easily Googleable.
Which hemisphere won?
Yeah, which hemisphere? The southwestern.
Yep. the greatest hemisphere in the world.
Yeah. I know who lost. Like, my favorite thing about the World Cup, and normally, you know, I try not to go too hard into the Schadenfreude paint. However, it is always amusing to watch videos of the crowd from the losing team. Just because everybody has strange cares, right? Everybody has passions, and that's fine. But just the screaming, the gnashing of teeth, the rending of garments, it seems so disproportional. I mean, obviously sports are a huge part of identity, etc. I know that I'm the weird one here, but just the sheer overstatedness of the emotion in that particular moment is something that is interesting to behold.
It's just interesting is the right word for it. Like, I don't want to minimize it.
Yeah.
You know, I understand, slowly over the course of 38 years, I have, you know, 0.5% every year understood being invested in sports a little bit more,
mm-hmm.
you know? So like, I'm slowly, like, I'm getting to like 20%, like maybe one out of every five times. I'm like, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
You know, and by the time I die, you know, I'll max out like 50% or something like that. But so I kind of get just caring about it, but it is just a way to watch a lot of people freak the fuck out.
Yep, I suppose that's like the simpler way to put it.
Yeah, like it's just like you just want, because you never see that outside of an Italian funeral. Like you just never see like people rend garments.
Yeah.
You know, like other, you know, it's just very rare that I see somebody rend a thing.
Yeah. And, you know, it's foreign to me. I don't really feel very many strong emotions.
Just seeing somebody just really care about something like that. You know, I feel like when I watch something like that, I feel like I wouldn't care if I was that much if I was on the losing team.
Yeah, I wouldn't care if it was an entire stadium giving me a cancer diagnosis.
Yeah, like everyone in a 93,000 part harmony explaining that you have, you know, cancer of the retina. And it would still just be like, yeah, I just be like, yeah, that's like I one of the things about my emotional state is that, like, you know, I've said this before, but like old coworkers, when I had an office job, people would always ask how I'm doing. And I always answer that question honestly in general. Mm-hmm. Like I don't lie. I try not to lie in general. Right. So I always, and I'm always just like, you know, like 7 out of 10, you know, cause that's the truth. That's usually where you cruise. That's cruising altitude.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I'm fine. Like I'm not spectacular, but like, yeah, I'm okay. But part of that living in that 7 out of 10 range also means that like when something bad happens, like, I'm never like rending garments. Like I had my injury that really sucked. Like last year I had a bad medical scare that really sucked, but I wasn't rending garments. It was just me saying like, this sucks with slightly more inflection and slightly more often.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like, ah, this sucks. You know, like that's about where I bottom out too.
Mm-hmm.
So there's an advantage to the 7 out of 10 zone.
Yeah. It's a, you know? It's a compressor limiter, right? To put it in audio terms. Yeah.
Yes. You know, yeah. I mean, it's like a bad John Mayer track. The overcompressed is shit.
Yeah, I mean, so, and for me, that's that is a function of my you know, brain chemistry. You know, depression and anxiety. Like the way my anxiety, you know, introduces or, you know, inflects is, it is, you know, it definitely is like a pronounced reaction to small things. However, it is more of a freeze and an avoidance. And also it is not like processed like outwardly physically, besides getting like sweaty and nauseous, you know? So like there is no rending of garments there. And with depression, like, you know, it is more of just like a continuous weight that is carried around. Right.
Yeah. It's not acute.
Right.
So
right.
That's the thing about those big emotions.
It's a deadening, right?
Yes. Those big emotions like that are spikes in a thing, as opposed to just kind of a baseline. Yeah. Agreed. I, unlike the person who requested this, I didn't think this was a bad example of a soccer game.
No.
Like I'm not super into soccer video games.
Mm-hmm.
I've tried, like, usually this kind of like 8-bit and 16-bit sports games, as far as traditional sports, those are my favorite.
Yeah.
That's about where I top out. And this felt about on par with any soccer game I played.
Yeah.
You know, and that could just be me, you know, but it does have a good reputation. And stuff. I was looking, you know, looking at GameFAQs and looking at reviews and stuff. Like, people like this game a lot.
Yeah.
I would be curious if that is, if the person who wrote in, if there are other soccer games of this vintage that they like significantly more.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. Sensible World of Soccer or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or Aussie Rules Footy. You know.
Yes. Yeah, I'd be curious as well. The thing that is interesting about this and what really drew me in is that it is akin to like an NBA Jam. Like one of the reviews, you know, says that, like, oh, what if there was an NES NBA Jam, but for soccer, you know? Mm-hmm. And I was also pretty delighted to find that this is a Kunio Kun game. I forgot that there was one of those. In fact, the Japanese version of this, the Famicom version, like it is like Super High School Dodgeball Soccer Edition.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I knew about this game in advance because of Ray Barnholt's Retronauts that he did on Kunio-kun games. And I was thinking about this, and you can confirm or deny this. I know for Watch Out for Firewalls, but is this the first time a Kunio-kun game has shown up on the network?
I believe so, yeah. I mean, we've been trying to do River City Ransom for 8 years.
It's gone on many folds. You know, and someday we'll do it. Maybe the NES streaming service will be the thing that finally pushes people to want to vote for it next time we throw it on a poll.
Mm-hmm.
Or we could just thumb the scale and do it.
Yeah.
Because, like, I'm interested in doing
just
it.
Make
like
a choice and do it, yeah.
Yeah. Like, I would like to play it again. Like, mm-hmm. I'm a little scared of it. Like, I wonder how it, you know, I had fun playing it when I was young. I wonder if it you know, holds up. But the I generally like Kunio-kun, because the thing that I think is neat about it is that I don't think on its surface it's a very attractive art style. Mm-hmm. I think it's really impressive, though, that on the NES you can make such a uniform and distinct kind of like character animation style like this.
Yeah, and usually when you have something that is uniform like that, it has the edges sanded off, but like mm-hmm. the thing that makes Kunio-kun what it is that they have these kind of oversized like blarg expressions.
Yeah, it's very, know, like, it's very cartoony in a fun, yeah, you know, pretty fun way.
Yeah,
and like everything reads well too, even though everyone's kind of fat and their legs are, you know, extremely squat, like it still reads, like you can read everything they're doing. Like, I just find that very impressive.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's not like it's attractive the same way that very detailed sprite work on the NES can be. Mm-hmm. But it's just very cool that they have this kind of uniform sense of visuals, but also even just kind of sense of control.
Yep.
That kind of happens between this and the volleyball game. Not so much with Reverse Hero Ransom, but whenever Kunio-kun decides to do sports.
Yeah.
You know, I can't remember the name of that volleyball game, but yeah. So yeah. Generally in favor of Kunio-kun.
Same. I like it quite a bit.
Yeah. But as a soccer game, it's funny. So I played this because of the ROM crackdown. I played this on an online emulator, which I threatened to do last time mm-hmm. we did one of these. So I played it. So I ended up having the takeaway was I had to play on my keyboard. If select switches players, like select was awkwardly mapped.
Select does not switch players.
Okay. So I was just playing the same player the whole time.
Yeah. That's the thing about this. Like you issue commands to the other players.
Yeah, I gave them their like strategies, and then it was just me. Like, it felt very much like how I would actually play soccer, which is like just kind of running towards whoever has the ball and then throwing it, you know, passing at the last minute. I was like, oh, this is pretty accurate. Like,
yeah, I was gonna say that. That is exactly how I play these. Weirdly, I don't play hockey games that way, but anytime I play a soccer video game, it's like a fucking 4-year-old like kiddie soccer kind of thing. Just everybody is running straight toward the ball.
Everyone's playing keep away with you.
Yeah,
it's like
come on, guys.
You and 15 of your friends got together to play like this absolutely vile, cruel game of keep away, you know? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not like my
EpiPen's inside the ball, though.
Yeah. I think it's just one dose of insulin. Yeah. When I didn't play this long enough, but when watching videos of it, I like that sometimes if you get tackled enough, you just don't get up. So the field gets littered with corpses in this game. Like I'm watching this long play and I am 12 minutes in and there are 3 corpses from the blue team just flat on the field. Like no stretchers come out, people trample them, you know? It's very funny.
Sorry, I'm laughing at that way too much. But it's like in a soccer, you know, in a hockey game, how you want to, you know, you want to goad the other team into getting penalties and stuff, so they're out of there. No, you just straight up like knock them the fuck out. It's like Kunio-kun, how about Pancake-kun?
Yeah.
you just
murder them, and it's such an interesting variation on because you know there's the argument that in video games, like when corpses don't dissolve, it's a good thing because it helps you feel like, you know, in general, I think it's a really good thing. Like it makes you feel like you see what you've done. You can kind of feel the consequences of violence if it's that type of game, or you can just kind of feel empowered, right?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Backtracking through a Dark Souls area, once you've cleared it, feels really good to see all those ragdolls, you know, on the ground. That's very funny to me as applied to sports.
Yeah.
Like just like, you know, the player needs to see all the horror he has wrought, you know, all the people he has killed need to be, you know, notches on the bedpost that he'll never forget.
Yeah. And also like, it's weirdly prescient of the concerns that we have about the well-being of athletes today.
Yeah. Yeah. Like people get hurt doing this shit.
Yeah.
Like I was thinking about it a lot. I think I mentioned this during Injury Cast, but, you know, if I could knock myself out for 2 weeks, sleeping and admittedly I'm in not in great shape, but like, just thinking about like doing something like these soccer players are doing, you know, and just boy, like if I had to do something like this, like just randomly like, oh, you know, your life's over for 2 weeks because, you know, you didn't do the good kicks, right?
Yeah, you know? you kicked like, bad. You kicked good your entire life.
The bad foot and did the good thing.
You kick good your entire life. You kick bad once. And guess what? They're putting up a curtain around you and they're putting a bullet in your head.
You have a lifetime to make your first kick and then 6 months to make your second kick.
You turn Pele into glue.
Yeah.
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 Now, I was listening to a podcast. It was an interview of with a guy who just wrote a book about the NFL, and you know they were talking about the future of the game. And he says, "Yeah, when you talk to the team owners, their greatest fear and something they talk about all the time is like, this whole thing ends the minute that a player dies on the field. Like yeah. that is an ongoing concern.
I have no idea how that hasn't happened yet.
Yeah. It might be a Disneyland kind of thing where nobody has technically died in Disneyland because they cart people off.
Stretcher them off. Yeah. they put them in the Sbarro across the street to die on a, die on a family size slice. You know? Yeah. Like,
yeah. I had Sbarro recently on the ride up to Milwaukee, and they had one like little travel plaza, and you know, it's been a long time since I'd eaten. Yeah. Man, a Sbarro slice is like a half of the pizza.
Yeah, yeah, they do the slice that eats like a meal.
Yeah,
philosophy, which I actually like. Mm-hmm. You know, just like at like one, because if I eat pizza, like a pizza serving for me is 2 to 3 slices of pizza, like not necessarily huge like out pizzas, but like a regular size pizza.
Yeah,
like a medium pizza at home, I will eat, you know, 2 to 3 slices of pizza.
Yeah.
You know, that's a meal. So just passing that into a slice doesn't bother me. Mm-hmm. The pizza places in Portland, Sizzle Pie, which is probably, it's not the best one, but it's the one that I go to most frequently when mm-hmm. I get pizza, does a thing where they'll do, they're pretty big slices, but they'll do them in half if you want to try a variety, and they're called cuts.
Mm.
And it's a little cut, a big Sbarro style slice in half. You know, so you can try 2 different varieties. I think that's a kind gesture.
Yeah. That's good. Can I get a flight of pizzas?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Can I like a pizza where every slice is a different type of pizza?
Yes. Okay. Can I get it 1/64th a sausage and onion, 1/64th banana peppers?
Yep. And they'll just mix in my mouth.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah, no, I have no idea how somebody hasn't died on the field. Maybe it has, and I just haven't heard about it because I am also not plugged into this. But
and maybe not during soccer,
yeah.
You know, but during football, you know, the neck cracking sport, like 100%.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. 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 But yeah, I didn't end up. So this felt like soccer to me. It felt like reasonably, you know, fine and fun,
mm-hmm.
You know, for soccer. But it's as far as the sports go, the traditional sports. If I'm going to play them in an 8 or 16-bit form, I'm a real baseball guy.
Okay.
Like that's my choice.
Yeah. Fire up an RBI.
Yeah. RBI. And then, and also like, I legitimately would like to do it for WAF someday. Super Baseball 2020.
Oh yeah.
Which is a really fun, like sports game. Like it's pretty much just baseball, but you get a weird trade-off where your characters will level up. Or you can get androids, which have really good stats, but are static and can break.
It's like Final Fantasy Legends 2. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, or like Starflight.
Yeah.
You know, where like you can get the capped, you know, the capped cheaper robot things. Mm-hmm. And it's just very beautiful. Like just the models just look really good.
Yeah.
You know, and then other than that though, it's just a baseball game.
Mm-hmm.
And the robots are great because sometimes they're like hunk bots. They're like, you know, super super strong, like, and then sometimes they're like, you know, R2-D2 style tin can clank clank you're dead, mm-hmm. you know, robots. And it does both kinds.
Yeah.
They do. They you don't actually control them, but the players wear jetpacks. So you can do, if there's a pop fly, that's going to be a home run. You can jump and you'll actually just go straight up like really far with a jetpack. So you can actually catch things that are going.
So it's like Daryl Strawberry catching the thing in the outfield.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. It's a cool sports game. Like it's very fun.
Nice.
So, and I didn't play recently, but I played it right before I moved to Portland and the weird job that I'm surprised I gave up where I could sit there and play emulators all day if I wanted to. So mm-hmm. I spent a summer playing baseball or baseball 2020. So yeah.
No, which, I think I've heard you talk about this before. I'd be down to cover that on WAF. That'd be a good, that'd be a good change of pace for us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's not a whole lot to it, but there's at least enough to it.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. What is your old sport of choice?
So old 16-bit.
I guess traditional.
Yeah. If we're taking golf out of the mix.
Yeah. So golf, skateboarding, those yeah, don't count. Yeah. Those are obviously king.
right. So taking the solitary pursuits of physical perfection out of it. I'm a big fan. So like at the top of it would probably be, let's say, hockey. I always okay. liked the NHL games. For the SNES and Genesis in particular, mm-hmm. And then I don't know, like maybe it's because This is a knock-on effect of the SNES technically being Chris's, technically being my brother's, but I played a lot of like Madden and football games with him. I like an NES or SNES era football game, actually, quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had like Tecmo Bowl and all that shit.
I definitely get that.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. Those are good. Like I actually like all of them. Unfortunately, like tennis is probably my least favorite, or not tennis, soccer.
Yeah.
Tennis is probably is pretty up there for me, but soccer is probably my least favorite out of all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Just like when I played this game, it was exactly that Simpsons bit. Like nobody scored
right
the entire time I played. We just passed and I couldn't get it past the goalie. I didn't know there are secret moves in this game.
Right.
Like you can do blitzball style, like super shots. And I couldn't figure out how to do them. So I just couldn't get anything past the goalie. But they couldn't get anything past my goalie either. So we just kind of passed the ball back and forth. And it was literally just like passes the center forward, hold it. Like it was just that.
Right.
So.
Yeah. I also didn't make a lot of progress, but I saw I appreciated the stuff that this was doing, like, and kind of like it moved in two directions a little bit, where you had like the tactics screen at the start, where you could, mm-hmm. Select how your team would behave, but also down, at the moment to moment level where you're, slide tackling people and just playing as rough as possible. Like, I think that is a really interesting variety to, to accomplish on an 8-bit system, at around this time when they honestly were having a lot of trouble figuring out how to make, just playing the game by the rules fun,
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Did you ever watch, speaking of like tackles and stuff like that, have we talked about The Goon? You see that movie?
The Goon? No, I have not seen that.
The Goon. It's a Sean William Scott movie. So it's a Stifler joint.
Okay.
And it is a movie about like an idiot who is like okay at hockey, but mostly is just really good at getting into fights and punching people.
So it's like Happy Gilmore if he made the team. Not Happy Gilmore. Like Happy Gilmore. Sorry.
Yeah.
I get Happy Gilmore and Billy Madison mixed up.
I do too.
Yeah.
Cause they're both just names.
Yeah.
And he gets recruited by an actual serious, hockey team,
mm-hmm.
and moves to Canada and stuff. And he's just like, he's an idiot the entire time. Like he's kind of just like a dumb idiot.
Mm-hmm.
It's, an ex-girlfriend of mine, like had me watch it and I was surprised by how much I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's pretty fun. It's pretty funny. It's got, the previous, like the 70s version, like, in The Simpsons where they get the entire, that hockey team, the Jury of the Damned or whatever.
Yep.
The version of that is played by Liv Schreiber.
Okay.
And he's just like real, real charismatic and scary,
mm-hmm.
In it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. Yeah.
I like a hockey movie. Like I think Slapshot is legitimately like really fucking funny. Like, mm-hmm. Of that kind of Abrams style, over the top, goofy comedy kind of thing. I know it is like schmaltzy and sentimental as fuck, but Miracle is actually really good. Kurt Russell does a good job at that.
I've not seen Miracle.
It's about the 1980 Miracle on Ice team. I mean, it's about the coach, the team is kind of a background kind of element. But yeah, that was a good time. Oh, yeah. Hockey movies are good.
Hockey, I think, as far as sports goes, encapsulates movies very well because it can have a lot of different tones.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's kind of a joke sport in a lot of ways, partly because of like Canada association. And like, I love Canada. I wish I was Canadian, but it's also an easy punchline because it's,
oh man, it's also white as the driven snow.
Yeah. It's like super, super white as a sport. Super. Like it has that associated accent,
mm-hmm.
with it. It's a little silly. Like there's Zambonis involved, it has like a sillier kind of tone to it that allows for, but there's also violence,
mm-hmm.
and also it's a sport and all sports movies have that kind of arc. Like I would go as far as to say, I haven't seen Miracle, but I can kind of just watch a sports movie and be okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like so, I don't like watching sports very much, but right. The arcs of those, that kind of like very, very, the sports version of the hero's journey,
mm-hmm.
Whatever you'd call that, is that formula works on me.
Oh yeah, for sure. Except for Hoosiers. Hoosiers is a fucking boring movie.
I had not seen Hoosiers.
And that's really bad. So.
I believe it.
Yeah.
Did you ever see The Fighter?
No, but I understand that it's really good.
Yeah.
Like it always shows up on, and sometimes I'll just fall down a hole watching like top 10 blank in movies videos on YouTube.
We could talk about that for the rest of the episode because that is also my secret shame.
But Christian Bale's performance is always like hyped up on those.
Yeah, he's really good in it. Yeah. You know, and just like just the idea of this like former, like I like boxing movies specifically, and just this like, you know, former glory. Like I love people past their glory.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the appeal of like Venture Brothers and Royal Tenenbaums.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is like just people who peaked.
Yeah.
A long time ago and maybe don't know it. And that's a really, really good like resonant archetype for a character, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So what's the dumbest top 10? What's the dumbest what culture?
Watch Mojo. Yeah.
What's the dumbest Watch Mojo that you'll admit to if you're among friends, it's safe. What's the dumbest bullshit you've watched?
So like the dumbest stuff. So like I mostly look at it to get trivia. Honestly, mm-hmm. but like the dumbest stuff is almost always like two actors who you didn't know hated each other or something like that, or like why these actors are never hired again, something like that.
Oh, the why those actors are never hired again ones are always frustrating to me because they're like 7 minutes long.
Yep.
And it's just like, you know, it just shows a picture of Rick Moranis and then like a little star wipe will come in and be like, staying with family, you know, we'll just pop in from the side and it's like, oh, that's all you had to say.
Yeah.
You know, like Rick Moranis. You remember him from, and it's like 5 minutes of that. And then it's just like, he decided to spend time with his family. Subscribe to Watch Mojo for a new, you know,
be sure to ring the bell. Yeah.
Yeah. Never ringing that fucking bell. There's a really terrible one called like how to be happy or like happy culture or something like that.
Okay.
And I watched one and it's really bad. It's really annoying. Mm-hmm. And I don't feel good about it, but it was a thing that's like, and I just like, I'm in a moment of weakness. I clicked on it and it was like things like 10 things stewardesses know about, air like flights that you don't.
Okay.
And I was like, I fly like a decent amount.
Right.
You know,
I
fly like, you know, 3 or 4 times a year. Like I'm kind of curious about this.
Mm-hmm.
What is this? And it was interesting, but the fucking, like, I feel like there's a hole. If you take that content and do it with a different posture,
yeah,
that would actually become something that I could like without it being a confessional.
Yeah
you know. Like this in the middle, like every year it's like, have you learned anything? If you have, make sure to hit that like button, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's like, no, just tell me the fucking things and don't use a voice.
Yeah.
Like, give me a text list. I want the game facts of 10 things I didn't know. You know, just game facts for things.
Yeah.
Facts.
Yeah.
And then I just go to thinkfacts.com and just find like a cool ASCII art picture of a sword. And then they tell me 10 things that stewardess know about airline food.
that's the thing. But like they cannot create a combo. They can't create a chain with that. You know,
yeah.
Like on an actual website, they wouldn't present that as a list. That would be the slideshow that is linked in the from around the web section.
Yeah.
You know, like all that has to be designed to lead you on to the next thing, which, you know. That happens with me. Like I fall under the spell. Like I watch one and then in the related videos, it's like, you know, you're like, here's a bunch more like this, a buffet of pleasures.
It's very easy.
And then 11 PM turns into 3 AM, you know?
Yeah. It's well, and specifically like when you, that's important because it is a, you know, thing to do before you go to bed,
mm-hmm.
you know, kind of thing. Like it's it's like the least challenging content.
Yeah.
Online, it's designed to be as such, and it's just like, I'm gonna go to sleep.
Yeah,
this is for that.
Yeah, to 10 minutes, cool. You know,
yeah.
I will, and you know, this is always done. Like I will convince myself that it appeals to my better angels. I'm going to learn 10 things in 10 minutes, right? Like who can argue with that that density of nutrition?
The fact that like. In most cases, 8 of them are things you have not learned. Yep. And 8 of those minutes, you're not learning anything as well.
Yeah.
You know, it is a bad form of learning it. It is like learning it, but it's mm-hmm. like, you know, it's a hot dog. Like you're eating something nutritious, but with like a really, it's like when Robert Dyer says that payday bars have nutritional value because there's peanuts in there. You know, it's like, yes, you're getting a certain number of peanuts.
Yeah.
You know, that is inarguable. You will eat a certain number of peanuts if you eat a bunch of paydays.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No, the word for that in marketing, specifically video marketing or content marketing, is snackable. That content is snackable.
I hate that.
Yeah, no, I hate it too.
Gross. Gross. I've done a lot of videos by a company called Tats Top Videos.
What?
Have you done any Tats Tops?
No.
I think this might up your game for these because I think these are annoying. But they're slightly better and they do a lot of video game things where it's like, here's you know, and they go really like long numbers. So like a half hour long. It's like you put on and then cruise to sleep. Mm-hmm. But it'd be like the 50th scariest levels in video games.
Okay.
Or yeah. like, you know, the most unnerving monsters in games or movies or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah. Yeah. It'd be like reading the Nightmare Fuel pages on yes. TV Tropes. Yeah.
And those things occupy a very similar space for me.
Same.
Like I, you know, if I'm going to bed, it's one or the other. Usually if I need something not challenging to read.
Gary, I'm happy that we can just finally talk about food being good and talk about yeah. the dumb shit that we do to lull ourselves episode. To sleep.
Yeah. 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 Will is great for that. Me and Will like recently, had a breakthrough where we realized like we both were like for a long time and still like, you know, still interested in and think that, the original like Slenderman shit is good. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's so cliche. And then people died from it. And like, there's all kinds of reasons not to like it.
Yeah.
But I was just very happy to like talk to somebody else who's just like, yeah, man, those initial videos are super good. And he mm-hmm. got real into the extended ARG and like talked to him about like Everyman Hybrid and all the weird offshoots and shit.
Yeah. And Marble like, Hornets and things. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Marble Hornets, the 12th Tribe, like all those, you know, just like when I was new to that kind of content being possible, that shit mm-hmm. was just like real good for me.
Yeah. Same know? With like SCP, you know, or like. Just doing a search for creepypasta, you know, like I'm down for like two paragraph long horror stories about the internet. Like that's good.
100%. Like I can kill an afternoon with an SCP like surf pretty easily. Mm-hmm. It's a funny thing too, because like so like I go through phases. I stop doing it for a while. I'm dating again, mm-hmm. and part of dating is like asking, you know, about media and what people have in common. And the a lot of times, you know, people ask me about TV shows, and I said it before, like I don't watch a lot of TV. And this is when I put that caveat that that's not a brag. This is what it is.
Yeah.
It's like instead of watching, you know, The Bachelor, like I'm watching, you know, Tat's top videos, the top 30 SCPs inspired by a creepypasta mm-hmm. Slenderman edition. Yeah. And I'm like, you know, it's junk. You know, yeah. it's sugar. It's, you know, but it's that instead of The Bachelor for me. It's not like, mm-hmm. you know, I'm not saying that me not watching TV or me not doing the other things is better. Like, right. It's not. It's just everybody needs some junk, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. And I think the sooner we can all admit it to each other, the sooner we'll stop feeling bad in private, you know?
Yeah. And I do think, you know, I'm serious when I mean that, like, I wish there was a version to get the good part of that without the bad.
Yeah.
You know, like without the obnoxious framing and stuff like that, mm-hmm. you know, but I bet you people who like The Bachelor wish that same thing too. Like when I watch reality TV shows, I wish that there was just the cool parts without the constant recaps, you know, and like whenever a black guy's on screen, play some hip hop, you know, like the shitty parts of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
No, so. I mean like that's what like fan edits or you know, like recap podcasts. Like I've never watched a single fucking frame of The Bachelor, but when Griffin McElroy and his wife Rachel were doing a show called Rose Buddies, like I tuned in to listen to them because they were funny, but also it was interesting to hear about those stories kind of recapped, you know, just in a very quick kind of form while they were clowning on it, you know. Mm. I think that's the role that like that is the way that I would consume that.
Same.
Yeah.
So if people are listening to this and you feel ashamed about any of that stuff, don't. Because right. we do it too, and we're super cool hunks.
I am
you like to be as cool as two pudgy professional podcasters?
Yep.
So you can.
No, I'm a virile Adonis who would blind you if you looked straight at me because of my radiance. But
yep. However, I will watch a thing that's, you know, the top 15 scariest bugs in Australia. You know, and just be fine.
Yeah. The pro tip that I found, so there is Watch Mojo. However, there is also Miss Mojo.
Okay.
Which is the Watch Mojo for girls.
Oh. Okay.
I find
the masculine form of watch is Miss.
Yep. but that in particular is good for, like, I watched a few that were like realistic portrayals of mental illness in film, or you know, realistic portrayals of non-standard kind of gender identities and things like that. Like,
that's it's so weird that that's gendered.
I know, right?
That's like the listicle for girls is like.
Yeah. It fucking that's sucks. However, I've noticed like the tone on that is more to my liking. So I don't know.
I'll have to check that out.
Yeah.
The so usually a lot of times, not always, but like oftentimes I will go towards spooky mm-hmm. with those things.
Yeah.
So,
yep.
Yeah, because monster season is upon us. So
I'm so excited,
dude. no Fright Town this year.
What?
They couldn't afford it. Yep. They didn't make enough money last year to put it on this year.
Oh man.
So I was always surprised because it looks like that thing makes fucking bank, but it was definitely expensive.
Yeah. I mean, they ran out like an entire level of that Coliseum.
Yeah. So I'm going to look around and see if there's anything else good that's like easy to get to.
Mm-hmm.
And if not, it might have to be just, you know, another type of activity.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's a bummer.
I'm super bummed. It's the first year I haven't gone.
Yeah.
I've lived out here for 10 years. I've gone 9 times.
Yeah. So. Well, that's sad. Sorry.
Hate when traditions die.
Why'd you have to bum me out?
That's all right.
That's all right.
Yeah, because you're gonna like, you're getting a little too hard up for Mojo. So I had to stomp down your Mojo, baby.
That's fine. Cool.
Top 10 times Austin Powers predicted the 1916 election.
So we're gonna need to move on to our next mm-hmm. episode if I'm going to make it to my niece's volleyball game. So thank you very much, Lass or Lasse or I don't know, for patronizing us and for mm-hmm. asking us to play this game. Mm-hmm. It's neat. I like Kunio-kun stuff, and I had forgotten or did not know this existed. Also, I had no idea. I always love it when there is another language. People who speak another language try to come up with names, mm-hmm. specifically American names. They've got one guy who's named Davy, D-A-Y-V, on the American team.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Davy. Also, just real quick to put us out, there's no... game, there's one tiny nugget of Game Facts Gold, which is this guy in a FAQ who says, I'm not going to bother with copyright stuff. If you are low enough to try to bank a profit off this, or you decide to plagiarize it, that's your wretched morality. Ooh. And that's the only thing he says, but I'm just pretty into that. Like,
he sits atop his golden throne, sorting the good from the bad.
Yep. And he has found you wanting. Dimetric Houston is his name.
Ooh.
So fuck yeah. He also thanks God for his fact. He thanks God for the strength, life, and intellect to do the fact.
Oh, cool.
So like, okay, but
this guy he's living his truth.
All right. God, I need more intellect to complete this fact. I should pray on it. Yeah. God, please grant me the intellect to make an NES World Cup fact that can compete with all of the other NES World Cup facts. And God, please smite anyone who has the wretched morality to plagiarize such. if you like the show, patreon.com/duckfeedtv is your one-stop shop for awesome Magic Suffering stuff and to support your boys. And ratings and reviews is your second stop shop for also supporting your boys.
Yeah. Otherwise, tell your friends, and we'll be back next week.
And until next time, who is Kick Dog?
Hmm.